Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order in and throughout California. Thank you for that. And City Attorney Kazanowicz, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Mayor, I have the honor. Please join in saluting the flag of our great nation. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Here.
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 Here. So, thank you for that. And just a quick note, you will notice that the mayor is absent this evening, but he is recovering, and we hope to see him in advance of the next meeting. So with that, Mr. Kazanowicz, closed session announcement, please.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. On Monday, August 3rd, Council met in closed session on four items. They included property management negotiation instructions on Sprint Corporation, another one on Pacific Companies. Convening into open session, there were no reportable actions on items 1, 2, and 3. On item 4, Council approved in principle settlement of the matter.
Thank you for that. And then we will move on to our agenda review. And so at this time, the Council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for any announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. If no one has any changes, I'll accept a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Bright, a second by Councilmember Nichols. Roll call or voice vote, correct? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We'll proceed as published. So which brings us to our public communications, at which time any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the council. We will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on any items not on the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to speak before us this evening?
Are we ready? Okay, I am the public, but I didn't have public comment. I was waiting for a public hearing. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
But I'll hold on to the mic anyway.
Okay. Then I'll go. Then I'll go ahead and close public communications, and we will proceed to the first item on the agenda: our public hearings. So, who wanted to introduce that item?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, actually, as I indicated at the last meeting, this is a public hearing for the review of a special events permit, and Kathy Pecker will be presenting the staff report.
Mayor and City Council members, good evening. Kathy Pecker. This item is an application for a special event permit by Grover Beach United for the annual Grover Beach Street Machine Muscle Car National Show. We received the application from Linda McClure on behalf of Grover Beach United, and they are proposing this as their second annual event. They have requested this be a one-day event as compared to 2 days from last year. They are also proposing that the event be for enthusiasts of cars, hot rods, big rig cabs, motorcycles, beach. But this is a typical car show where the cars are entered into award categories and then they receive awards at the end of the event. And they are anticipating approximately 100 to 300 entries, and they're also anticipating approximately 1,000 people attending the event, the one-day event. They have provided us information on the layout of how they would like the cars and the streets laid out, and we do have a map of that layout if you're interested in seeing that as an attachment. This is required to come to the City Council because it is has an estimated over 500 people in attendance, and that is required. Staff has met with the applicants several times to go over all the requirements and items that have been needed, and they have currently met the requirements to this date. And at this time, unless you have questions on their conditions of approval, and if you'd like to see the map overall and ask any specific questions regarding the event, staff is recommending that the event be approved for the process.
Thank you for that staff report. Yep. Is there any questions to my left for staff?
No questions.
Okay. To my right?
None.
Okay. So now I'll open this up to the public.
The California state regulations. And those are very specific. I also wanted to know when the night cruise would be taking place. And I wanted to know where the handicapped parking would be for those who want to view the event.
Okay. Thank you for those questions. I don't know, Bob, do you want to answer those, or Kathy?
Mr. Mayor, between Kathy and the chief, I think they could answer those
questions.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and answer the alcohol one. The alcohol will be served by licensed, bonded, provider of Mongo's, and they have been approved, and we have their approved license from the Alcohol Beverage Control Agency. Okay. And I'll go ahead and turn that over to the chief.
In reference to the cruise night, there is not an actual sanctioned cruise night that is sanctioned by the city or by Grover Beach United. If there is any folks that do a cruise night, they will be advised to stay within standards of the traffic code and the ordinances because the officers will pay attention.
Okay.
And I believe the handicap parking is over on, the entry for that is off of 8th Street. And correct me if I'm wrong on that, Kathy.
Let's see here. I believe that's correct, right off of 8th and
Ramona. Yeah, there's supposed to be handicap parking there, and then Rabobank as well as the post office parking lot is open for handicap parking as well as those spaces are designated.
Okay. Thank you for that. So in the
here's your overview of the area. So we have and the fire department access on the 8th Street area here.
Street as well. Is
yes.
That what you said? Okay. Okay. Very good. Anything else that you wanted to add, Chief or Kathy?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Great. Then before those answers, I will have closed the public hearing and brought it back to the council for discussion. Any discussion, or where would we like to go?
I think we've been through this a bunch of times. I want to thank staff and thank also the applicant, even though they're not here, for working through what I think was a pretty long and difficult process. And I know we're going to work on streamlining it for next year so that everybody can rest easier. But I look forward to the event. So thank you.
I'm ready to make a motion whenever we're done here.
Yep, as long as all the I's have been dotted and T's have been crossed, which I think has been triple checked, I think it's fine.
Okay, great. And nope. The floor is yours.
Okay, then I guess we need a motion here. So I'll make a motion that we approve the special event permit application to conduct the Grover Beach Street Machine and Muscle Car Nationals event, conditioned upon all the requirements of the Grover Beach Municipal Code being met.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Bright, second by Councilmember Shaw. Any other discussion? If not, this is just a voice vote. It says roll call in the agenda. And roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. So that carries. And then just a quick note before we leave the more of the special event item than this particular item, but Bob, if you could just kind of update the council and the...
That's correct. The ordinance currently in place only addresses that applications have to be submitted. Is no preliminary date. In effect, this group, if they so desired, wanted, they could submit an application for next year's event at any time from this point on. Okay. And begin working on it.
Okay. And so, thank you for that. That was the kind of the point I was trying to kind of make to anyone who's anticipating doing a special event is that the sooner they get the application
better.
Into the city, the sooner they will have the answer. Obviously, a couple weeks before the event is going to be crunch time for anybody doing events. So, early applications are always appreciated. So, with that, we'll move on to our second public hearing. A second reading of the ordinance dash, I think it would be 1503, so City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. There is a three-slide PowerPoint, but if you bear with me, I'll just, actual franchise agreement, which was going to be on the same agenda, staff requests, and did not place it on agenda, but want to advise you that it will be coming to you most likely at the next meeting. There are some wrinkles that needed to be worked out and also some last-minute questions from the franchisee. But the ordinance is ready for adoption. There is a public hearing that was still scheduled. In the event there was some additional comments from Phillip 66 with regard to the actual ordinance, there weren't. With that, staff recommends that you open the public hearing, close it after receiving public comment, conduct a second reading of the ordinance by title only, and take action on the ordinance. With that, I'll submit.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions to my right to start?
No.
Okay. Any further questions to my left?
Not from me.
Great. Okay. Then I just had one question, and it was Chapter 8 of the ordinance requests that the city has the some emergency information on file from Phillip 66, and I just wanted to make sure that either if we don't have it on file, hopefully we do already, but if not, that we make sure that that gets to us because that provides for some emergency contacts.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Actually, I believe a good deal of that is already on file. As you know, we're in the process of moving along with the approval of some encroachment permits for Phillip 66, which would require the same type of information.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Then I will open this the public hearing to the public, see if anyone has any requests to speak. If not, then I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the council for discussion and possible motion.
We all have, so I'm ready to make a motion if no one else has discussion.
Go for it.
Okay, I will make a motion then that we conduct the second reading of the ordinance by title only and adopt the ordinance amending Article 10 of the Grover Beach Municipal Code to renew a pipeline franchise and assignments to Phillip 66 Pipeline LLC.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes, and that carries. Thank you for that. So, thank you. We'll move on to our third hearing of the evening, a submittal of a state CDBG grant application. City Manager or Community Development Director?
Community Development Director Buckingham will take this.
Sir, the floor is yours.
Good evening, Mayor Pro Tem and members of the council. In February, the council held a public hearing and directed staff to proceed with preparing an application for a state community development block grant, or CDB, funding up to about $7 million for the construction of public improvements, and has already received other grant monies to complete the frontage improvements on West Grand Avenue. The remaining public estimates are currently estimated to cost about $5,250,000, and the economic development grant provides a great opportunity to fund a significant portion of those costs. If the grant is successful, the council still does need to determine the source of funds to make up for the balance of the public improvement costs. Staff is currently working with a bond counsel firm to determine options for public financing, and staff will be providing the council an update September or October at the latest on the status of that. Real quickly, the grant application process, it does require the council to hold two public hearings to allow for public input. The first meeting was held in February. Tonight's public hearing allows additional opportunity for the mission to the state. The application preparation process was lengthy, to say the least. It did require a lot of detailed information from Pacifica Companies to address not only the financial viability of the project, but also the justification for full-time or full-time equivalent job created by the project, with a focus on creating jobs for low and moderate income individuals. Pacifica Companies has estimated there's 61 full-time equivalent jobs that would be created upon the lodge opening, and therefore the grant the city could receive would be a total of $2,135,000. In addition, the city would receive applicable what they call general administration costs, which are related to grant admin, whether that's staff or consultants, and then also activity delivery costs, which are related to implementing the project. And those could be up to bring the grant total up to a maximum of $3 million. The public improvements that we're talking about that this grant would fund a portion of include relocation and reconstruction of the 160 public parking spaces that exist out there today to serve the state park, expansion and reconstruction of the existing public plaza. It would actually expand to the south and be enlarged considerably. Third, construction of water, sewer, and all dry utilities to the site. Next, repairs to the LeSage Bridge, which will be pending further structural analysis. And lastly, the relocation of the sewer dump. If the grant is approved, the monies will not be available to the city until we not only get the agreement from them, which usually takes some time, but then also clear, as they call it, the special conditions. And those aren't known until we get the approval, but we've been informed that the list is likely to include the formal commitment letters for all funding sources. So the grant, if approved, that a funding source would be approved. It would be the other funding source or funding sources that the council would use to make up the balance of the costs that would need to have an actual commitment in place to show those funds are available. Second, the NEPA document needs to be completed, and we're anticipating that to be done in October. Third, approval of the coastal development permit from the city of Pismo Beach for the expansion of that sewer dump station. That application was submitted back in June. We do have a meeting with their staff this week. Next, the executing the final CDBG agreement. That will include Pacifica Companies committing to the creation of the 61 jobs. And lastly, there may be a requirement for a security or performance bond from Pacifica to actually to create those jobs. So barring them completing the hotel in a timely manner, then there's no risk. So in conclusion, staff is recommending the council tonight open the public hearing, receive public comment, adopt the resolution confirming submittal of the grant application, and authorizing the city manager to sign and submit the application. And that concludes staff's report.
Thank you for that, Bruce. Any questions to my left?
I have one question. I kind of know the answer, but I think it's something the public might want to know. This grant process cost us about $80,000, and I know you talked about in your report it was a lengthy process. Could you maybe just give some details of how many weeks of work or months of work went into this process?
Well, it took 6 months to get from February 17th meeting to tonight. The majority of that time, though, I can tell you, is the consultant, our consultant, that's been helping us put the application together and actually does the underwriting for the city. He went to San Diego, requested information from Pacifica. Again, a lot of detailed information. It took a lot of conversations and a lot of work to get that information from Pacifica. That's the brunt of the most difficult part of this application. As you kind of see from what we provided you, the summary application, it's a typical bureaucratic form with, you know, fill in some blanks. But part of that was for Pacifica to revise their pro formas in response to the conversations. They had to go back and rethink a little bit about how they were going to brand the hotel as well. So all of those things really drug the process on. But I think that was positive in the sense that it made them come to conclusions that they didn't necessarily have answers for when they started this process.
Thank you.
Councilmember Wright.
Well, my question is about the sewer relocation. There was some question about that. Is there still?
Well, the city has filed the application again back in June. We haven't received any formal comments from the city of Pismo Beach. They have provided some comments via email, but that is the reason for the meeting this week. From a planning and land use standpoint, they haven't identified any issues. There have been some technical issues that we're trying to resolve regarding potential impacts to their sewer infrastructure. And the city, again, hired our own consultant to go through that process and provide that information to them to try to answer those questions in advance. So we feel like we've provided them a complete application, and we hope to resolve any other issues to allow the project to move forward to public hearing.
Mr. Mayor, if I could follow up on that a little bit. First of all, it has been done in support of state parks. Essentially, what's going to take place is there is a current dump station at the North Campground, and that North Campground would be expanded to accommodate the additional volume coming from what is at the LaSage site at present. So just by way of clarification, you know, the application we think is complete. We're hopeful we'll probably get a better sense as to timing when we meet later this week.
So to carry this forward a little bit, so the coastal development permit we will be required to get, say that doesn't happen for this particular site.
Well, we have been taking a look at possible alternatives because we know that's always a possibility. Can't put all your eggs in one basket, per se. Obviously, following through on those alternatives would take additional time, which would likely delay the project.
And so how would that affect the grant funds?
Until that is resolved, the grant would most likely be approved. You would have the ability, or we think we'd have the ability to incur costs, but the problem is there is somewhat of a risk associated with it because until that condition is removed, we wouldn't see any reimbursement.
Okay. So the grant you think would... So you think the grant would be approved?
Right, subject to these conditions.
I see, subject to those conditions being met.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Councilmember Nichols.
What specifically needs to be done to the LaSage Bridge?
We don't know. We need to complete a structural analysis to determine if it's minor repairs or whether it would be a replacement.
That hasn't been studied yet.
Actually, State Parks has engaged their own consultants. It's actually their bridge. Mm-hmm. So they have some preliminary information, but additional study needs to be done to determine the exact extent of the repairs.
That should not put any delay on any other aspect of the development, however?
No, in the sense that we have a lot of time to determine, even if the bridge needed to be replaced, we have years to go through that process. The it has the construction is not the issue. It's really the permitting through the environmental agencies and whether that would likely need a fish and wildlife permit. You can probably avoid an Army Corps permit, but that's the time that's would be is the critical path in securing those things so you can move forward with the construction.
It's actually it's one of their components of the project, correct?
At this point, the dump station is actually, as Bob corrected me, the state is the applicant. It's their property. It's their facility. They are the applicant. The bridge at this point, the latest discussions is that that would be part of the public improvements that the city would be installing.
Then my last question centered around what Councilmember Shaw was asking with regards to the $80,000, anticipating successfully obtaining the grant, those funds could be paid for through the grant proceeds, correct?
Correct. I alluded to that general administration money. We would get at a minimum $100,000, and we would actually request a maximum 7.5%, which would be $160,000. So that would cover not only the $80,000, but other costs to, associated with the admin of the grant.
Okay. Very good. Any other questions?
Yes, I do come across one. In the original planning that came out quite some time ago, they talked about moving the putting green. Is it? And this says modification to the existing putting green.
The conceptual design, it shows that it stays in approximately the same location, but my indication, without getting into final design, is that there's going to be modifications to it.
Okay. Very good. And then I just had one little logistical question. On the application,
Yes, they left tonight's blank because it hadn't taken place, but yes, the February 17th meeting will also be included in there.
Okay, and the item 2C says 8/7, so I'm assuming that was the date that it was published?
Yes, okay. And we have to provide all the documentation to HCD about the published as well as the public hearing and agenda. So.
Those I's and T's,
So
forth. So, okay, barring any further questions, I'll go ahead and open this to the public. Does our public wish to comment?
Sure, why not? I do have a couple questions. Me is also a possibility, depending on the other demands from this on the state. Who is responsible then for paying off this $5 million whatever?
I'll answer that.
And then also, that is required when the hotel opens. Is that correct? I think that's all I have.
Okay.
Then I'll do the second point. It's a 5-year period.
Right. Hang on one sec. I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. So I'll bring it back to staff so they can address Ms. Brown's questions.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Relative to the first question, obviously we've given that a lot of thought. And Pam indicated we are looking at financing the remaining improvements through a potential bond issue. Right now, we do have the bonding capacity exclusive of what we've done on the streets that we could go as high as the $5 million. So that's a kind of a backup alternative if we needed to go in that direction should the grant fail.
Okay. So, but there are other options that we're pursuing, but
right.
The bond, not the Measure K 14
right.
bond,
right.
but a different bond
right.
could be utilized for those improvements.
Okay. Right.
So then, who wanted to tackle the full-time equivalent and the timing question?
I believe the state on the full-time equivalent is 32 hours a week.
Yeah, I believe it's 1,875 hours a year is what they
right.
talk about.
Yeah.
Those are all established by the feds as part of the guidelines for the grant application.
Okay. And the applicant has filed
for discussion. Or a recommendation on a motion.
I'm ready to make a motion if there's no questions or discussion.
Okay, I recommend that we open the public hearing and receive public comment for the project for inclusion in the CDBG application and adopt the resolution confirming the selected project and authorize the city manager to sign and submit the application.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any clarification on that? Because since she made a motion to open the public hearing, which we'd already done. So, okay. So took care of that. So then roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. Thank you for that. That concludes our public hearings for the evening. So then we move forward to our consent agenda. And it looks like we've got 4 items on the consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull an item for separate discussion?
Not I.
No. No. I would make a motion then
One moment. So I do have looks like we do on the dais have an update to item 5. Number 5. So
I was going to include that.
Okay.
If that works for you?
Yep.
Okay. So then I will make a motion that we accept the consent agenda as presented, including the supplemental information to item 5 as presented.
Second.
Does that work? Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have a motion and a second. And so roll call due to item 7. I do have just a comment on 7 as we move through.
Yes.
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 And I'll be a yes with the comment stating that I did speak with David Molnix from the league this afternoon, he's thankful that we have this on the agenda this evening. He did indicate that this is a step in a direction, basically is how he put it to me, is that the special session that the governor has called could last through, if not beyond, November of 16. And he will be updating both the city and the representatives as any new information comes forward.
Thank you.
So with that, our consent calendar passes, and then we move into our regular business items. Looks like sitting as the successor agency. So city manager.
Housing successing agency.
So do we need to adjourn one and open the other? Okay, great. We can do both at the same time. City manager.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, as you'll see from the staff report, this is consideration of a subordination of the city's home repair program. Back in 2009, as part of our economic stimulus program, we then had a redevelopment agency, and actually that redevelopment agency part of what we did with those funds was go ahead and set up a home rehabilitation program. We set aside $150,000 for the home rehabilitation program, issued 13 loans to homeowners. The provision of those loans, you have the agreement that's attached to the staff report, was essentially that if the property owner sold or refinanced the property, then the loan amount would be repaid. You have a request from Mr. and Mrs. Ray on Trouville requesting that the city subordinate the home repair loan in order to refinance their first deed of trust. From our discussions with the Rays, they're looking at not taking any money out of this particular transaction and are only trying to get a more favorable interest rate for themselves. This would require a subordination by the city. Staff is really asking or recommending that, we think this situation is likely to come up again, and one action that the council could take is by no dollars being taken out, and it is strictly a refinance of the property. Again, in the event the property is sold or transitioned, the amount of money would be, the amount of the loan would become due. The council really has two alternatives. One would be to adopt the first resolution, which authorizes the city manager to sign off on subordination such as the one presented, or the council could choose to do this the $13,000. If and when the $13,000 comes back to the city, it's actually an expenditure of the now defunct Redevelopment Housing Agency. We still have a housing fund, and this $13,000 would go back into that housing fund. So that's the impact, is essentially, if you take either alternative one or two, it would delay the housing fund receiving the $13,000 back from the loan. That essentially concludes my comments. Either Mr. Buckingham or the city attorney may have some additional comments.
Thank you. Mayor, if I may, council members, a couple of just points of clarification, that the money would revert to what is the low and moderate income fund that city is still in control of under the successor housing agency. The second point that I wanted to make, if you are considering a overall policy adoption on the first resolution, just to make it clear that a transaction that's not taking money out of the for the owner also excludes actually a transaction where that money is rolled into improvements on the house. In other words, somebody could refinance the house, pull $20,000 out and put it back into the house, not receiving any cash out of the transaction. That kind of a transaction we would at least recommend is not covered by the agreement to subordinate. Only strict refinance where there is no, or put money towards construction or fill in the blank forward unless we agree to subordinate.
Okay.
Or be paid off.
Great. Okay. Very good. Is there anything else you would like to add? Okay. Okay, very good. Then I'll bring it up to the council for questions.
I don't have any questions. So
I had one question, but I don't know that you'll be able to answer it. I was kind of hoping the homeowners would be here. My one concern with this is I'm just not sure how much the mortgage amount is that they're refinancing versus what the house is appraised at this time, and I didn't know if anyone knew that answer.
We were not provided the did go up from 2011 when they first entered into this agreement, but my understanding from the loan broker, the mortgage broker, was their loan to value was such that they were able to obviously refinance, but I don't even think they were eligible to take out cash in this case.
Thank you.
The mortgage holder said that they were not eligible to take out cash in this case?
That was my understanding from the mortgage broker, yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions to my left? Yep. Uh-uh. Any other questions to my right?
How do we know that only the mortgage, what
potential items of the action this evening? I did have one question, and again, I don't know if it's necessary to address this evening because it's not being asked of us. But would a change of ownership from a from the grant deed to from individuals to into like say a trust, would that be considered an action that would require repayment of the loan?
My reading of the agreement, and it's been a little bit, but is that any change of ownership it requires a repayment.
Okay. So while we're not asking, we're not being asked to consider that this evening, someone could come forward in the future if they decided that they wanted to proceed with that and ask us that same. Okay. So any other questions? Okay.
None.
Very good. Even though it's not a public hearing item, I will open it to the public to see if Ms. Brown wanted to ask a question or make a comment?
No.
Okay. Thank you for that. I will then close that and bring it back to the council for discussion and or decision.
The one thing I would say is I would approve of this. I don't want to these people are trying to get rid of a 40-year mortgage with an ARM, which seems like not a great thing. So I would not want to mess them up with that. The one thing I would say is there's only 13 of these loans out here, and I see that our staff only got a letter about this in July, and here we are addressing it in August. So I do like the fact that we're talking to each person case by case, and, for example, Mr. Buckingham talked to a live person at a mortgage company. I guess what I'm getting at is I would lean more towards assessing these on a case-by-case basis than maybe starting some sort of program or policy.
And to be clear, if I may, Mayor and Council members, that conversation will take place in each instance. The policy simply saves you from having to preside over this each time it comes up. Okay. So staff will definitely engage in a conversation that assures, first of all, that there's compliance and then reviews any of the other details.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So towards that end, if we approve the first resolution, the same policy or the same action would occur behind the scenes.
Right.
It just would not be brought to the council for action.
It seems that we'd be doing the same thing. We just wouldn't, be reading it over. The one thing that gives me a little pause is just the question I asked that no one knows the answer to, because heaven forbid the bottom fall out of the market again. But if the mortgage company is willing to see this through, I mean, they would be the experts on this. So that would be my only concern.
City attorney?
And a $13,000 second on a house from which the bottom falls out, whether it's today or 6 months from now, has no chance of survival.
Any other discussion? Community Development Director.
I just wanted to kind of answer the question. As much as this was submitted on, or we received this on July 27th, there was the initial contact with us. We had to go and look up the loans, provide them to the applicant, and then recognizing that they're in this position where they're trying to refinance right now, rates are going up. Though this wasn't a lot of time, this was something that staff put other things aside to try to accommodate this person to get it to the council as soon as possible. So
you're saying if perhaps we change this as a policy matter, it might fit more within your ordinary course of business as opposed to...
We would be able to, as the city attorney said, immediately assess it and make a decision, and if they did qualify, give them that ability, and the city manager would sign it. So
did as quickly as you could for the folks that, as you did. Thank you.
I'm still not necessarily comfortable with the idea of not taking it on a case-by-case basis.
Well, they will take it on a case-by-case. Staff
would not be, or how do I say this correctly? What part of the discussion would the public have that we're not having right now that staff wouldn't be able to address on the case-by-case basis? I mean, why would you go one way towards the other?
Well, there's a lot of public getting this information tonight that might say, oh, well, gee, maybe we ought to look into this. Or, no, I don't want the city manager. Bob is going to retire soon, and we don't know who the next city manager is. So the public may not have as much confidence in leaving it in the staff's hands than in their, quote, elected officials' hands.
I think you got this through really fast. Mm-hmm. I hope that's what came across, because that's what I was trying to say. So I don't know that this would have delayed their process. I know it was maybe had to expedite things here and there to get it to the meeting, but I don't think this is going to come up that often. And if there's any level of comfort of having it before the public and maybe asking some questions, it may be worthwhile.
Maybe an approach, because I'm actually supportive of the first resolution where we provide staff with direction to potentially do this. Would it be possible from a comfort level from a council standpoint for us to add something into, let's say, the first resolution saying if the loan recipient does not agree with staff's recommendation, it can be appealed to the council, or is that already in effect action option to them?
That exists by code. Any action taken by staff is appealable to the city council.
So, and I guess from my perspective, bringing it back to the council, doesn't really do anything different than what staff is already doing. But if Bob or whoever the city manager happens to be doesn't make a decision to the homeowner's liking, they can always bring it to us for action. So just a thought.
And this is not a public hearing item. In other words, there's no legal requirement that this proceed in a public meeting.
Right. I guess it was a decision on my part to open it to the public, but it didn't need to be. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that changes your no. thought or okay. So I'm seeing different discussions. Where would we like to go?
Well, I agree with you. I think once we've pretty much set the tone and the language as to how we'd like to see this go forward, I think shout, you know, simply getting a lesser interest rate, I don't know that they have to come before us. Now, if it's something different than that, then they would have to, because it wouldn't be within the confines of this. So I'm really very comfortable with this. So I don't know where we're going to go from here.
Let me try something and see if it works. Do I hear a consensus that we're supportive of resolution number 2?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so realizing yes. that we can take action on that, it doesn't sound like we have consensus on potentially passing resolution number 1.
Yes.
Okay, so we can, city manager, city attorney, if we took action on number 1 and potentially delayed or brought back the resolution, if we took action on resolution number 2 and potentially brought back action on resolution number 1 for a time when we had the full council.
That's certainly within the purview of the council, and in the meantime, the decision that each of you can give some thought to with regard to the overall policy,
right? And a drafting could be made of the language, giving for option number 1 to amend whatever the wording is now. The language would have to be changed.
Basically grant this transaction, this simple transaction. And what you may want to think about for if you wish this policy be considered before a full council is in an instance of a cash-out loan, no cash-out loan. In other words, somebody's refinancing a house. They want to lower their monthly payments. They're not taking any money out. What is it in that scenario that you would need to think about in order to either approve or not approve the transaction? I'm not asking the question, but that's the otherwise we're going to be bringing items to you and you're going to nod your head and unless there's something that would be a pivotal point for you to either say yes or no to each individual one. But we can proceed forward with, if you wish, with approving this particular transaction on the second resolution. And if you direct us to bring this item before you at a...
Don't give too many numbers, which I would have liked to see, but the situation they're in, let's say that the next person brings in something and the city manager and the staff are not satisfied. They're proving that it's a no cash out, but for whatever reason, they're not satisfied with the amount of documentation. I mean, can they deny it even though... It's no cash out.
Yeah, the basically it has to be to the satisfaction of the city manager. The city manager would not sign anything unless that person was satisfied, whether it's Bob or the successor, was satisfied that the information before him is sufficient to comply with the policy.
Yeah. And so from my thought is that the amount of the loan is really not germane to necessarily to the conversation. That's between the homeowner and the bank or the refinance to make decisions on these items. So if you're not comfortable with that, then obviously that's your decision, but we get to make a choice on either resolution 1 or resolution 2 depending upon the motion maker.
Well, I'm relying on the promise to pay loan agreement. Borrower promises to pay the lender the sum of blank and interest stated below when the property is sold, refinanced, when other change of ownership affecting title occurs, or when default under Section 4 is evoked. Wouldn't we have to change the wording of that to refinance with no cash back? On all the loans?
City attorney?
No. The short answer is no. Yeah. You have the power to interpret the documents that you've drafted or were brought to you for approval. And I think the interpretation that would be applicable here, should you decide to even approve this one particular instance, because is that refinance in this particular meaning means with a cash out, that it's designed to bring money out of the transaction.
In the wording of the resolution, not in the wording of the loan. You're saying that it's in the wording of the resolution,
right?
The loan documents
do not need to be changed.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, the resolutions would clarify the council's former action.
Right.
Just for the record, Mayor Pro Tem, the applicant is here now. So if you wanted to reopen for public comment, he might be available to talk.
Is there a desire on the council's part to ask the homeowner a question?
Yeah, I actually did have one question. Okay.
Then I'll reopen this to the public. The gentleman come forward. State your name for the record, please.
My name is James Ray. I'm the homeowner, and this is a document it's referring to. I apologize for my late arrival, but I'm glad that I got in right before you guys closed this. But, yeah, your question.
And no problem. We're actually moving much faster than usual. So my question was just in the amount of the mortgage that you're looking at versus how much the house is appraised for.
Right. Right. The house just came in appraised at, I believe it was 530 was the appraisal that we just had done. The actual loan that we're applying for is just that. However, the loan to value came in less than 80%. So we'd have to pay the PMI on that. But we are also not able to get approved with this additional loan simply because it was mentioned not as a lien, but on the house as much as just notified in the initial documents. That's how I'm understanding from our real estate broker, real estate agent that's or helping us. I'm sorry, mortgage broker. So the element that the asking and price, the appraisal didn't come in as high as we were hoping for PMI purposes, but we didn't anticipate this being a blockage portion to actually getting a loan to refinance in the initial. We have to find a way to pay off that large sum in order for us to even get a loan to refinance. So that behooved us to contact the representatives to see if there's anything we could change in this. Because I believe the intention was, just like you're saying, to take cash out and for us to benefit without paying off our loan wouldn't be, I don't think it's morally right. But in this case, we just want to lock into a lower rate and be able to afford to live here. So that I don't know if that answered your question specifically, but that was the intention. As far as the loan amount was just that, not 530, I think I misspoke. It was, I think 460, I think is the amount we have to refi.
Okay. Yeah, that answers my question.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Any other questions, Mr. Ray?
No.
Thank you.
Appreciate
very much.
Your consideration.
Thank you. Great. Then I'll go ahead and close that again. Close the public hearing again and bring it back for any other discussion.
I think I might be able to go with the resolution one if the way it's written in the actual resolution, if no cash out is defined a little bit more clearly, just as the city attorney defined it for us, that it even applies to home repairs, etc. I just think of there are 13 of these loans out here, and they're only going to come forward over many years as houses sell or change hands. And I just foresee somebody 20 years from now trying to interpret what we meant by no cash out. Maybe that needs to be defined just a little more.
Is that a motion?
I guess so.
Then
I'll second that.
Okay. Then for a motion and a second, city attorney, under discussion.
Honorable Mayor, Council members, I would propose then that the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th, whereas of the resolution has language that simply adds a sentence that says no cash out in parentheses or in quotes. Thank you. That's what you call those little things. refinance shall mean a refinance which does not provide any cash to the property owner to be used for any purposes.
Does that satisfy the motion maker in the second?
If I was drafting it, I might say including but not limited to repairs or something like that, just because I don't know. In my mind, I would think repairs are going back in, but that's just me. But
you have the opportunity to make such,
okay,
such
so
a statement.
Okay, so I would include that language in the resolution as part of my motion.
Is the second okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then does our city clerk have the language?
Home improvements and or repairs.
Anything to add on that as city attorney? Okay. So, city clerk, whenever you are ready for the roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes. And so that carries 3-1, and so that was the first resolution, correct? Just one for clarification. Great. Thank you for that. Okay. Thank you. And then so that concludes the regular business calendar for the Housing Successor Agency. Coming back to our City Council regular business, we have none at this time. No pulled consent items. And so that takes us to our council committee reports. We'll start on my right with Councilmember Nichols. Did you have any meetings this time?
Oh, yes. with our mayor being tied up on medical issues, I have had quite a lot of activity with the South County Sanitation District. I guess the only reportable bit is that the district manager has resigned his position, and so we will... The sanitation district will be looking for a new manager. And that's pretty much the gist of what's reportable.
So do we know when the resignation?
The resignation is effective September 11.
Oh, good.
Okay.
In other matters, my own things, I have a capsule meeting on Thursday, so nothing to reportable on that at the point.
Okay. Any other meetings?
That's it.
Okay. Councilmember Shaw.
Actually, our housing trust fund meeting this month was canceled because nobody's making applications right now. And I just have a brief update on Visit Slow. They have their entire board of directors, new board of directors appointed, our representative being Sam Miller from Holiday Inn Express in Grover Beach. They've chosen a marketing company called Catalyst Marketing because now, you know, there's going to be an estimated $3.4 million a year going toward marketing in this county, as opposed to, I think, what once was $300,000 a year. So that definitely requires a new company. They went through a long vetting process. Our closest representative in that was Judith Fien, because she's on the marketing committee, and she let me know they went through an entire day of presentations to choose Catalyst Marketing. The Visit Slow office is now going to be located in downtown San Luis at 1334 Marsh Street. So they'll have some good visibility that way. Saver will be coming up. The Saver event will be coming up the weekend of, I think it's September 26th, so soon enough, and we will be represented at that. They're launching a new project that they started last year and they're continuing this year to have make packages and so that when Cal Poly parents drop their kids off, they can kind of turn it into a getaway. So I'm sure they have lots of reason for celebration and want to do that. So that's kind of the updates I have right now from Visit Slow. I know as part of our participation in Saver, there is a media lunch on this Wednesday at Edna Valley Vineyard. And I have an email into them to see if they want us represented there or if it's mostly for the media. So I'm waiting to hear back on that. And as the representative of the Chamber of Commerce, want to remind everyone the Big Stone Soup Music Festival coming this weekend and kicking off with the Dune Run Run on Saturday morning. So exciting stuff. So please try to attend. That's all I got.
Very nice. Councilmember Bright.
I had no meetings.
Very nice. Well, great. Very nice. And I had no meetings either. Just wanted to ask a quick question. If in my absence out of town, if anyone was able to attend the EVC meeting on July 22nd, it was more of a meet and greet at the Cliffs. I wasn't sure if anyone was able to be there. And looking on the faces, I see.
Yes. No. Didn't you go? We were there.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So long ago.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That
yes.
One. Yeah,
oh,
my.
Out in the oh, yes.
How was it?
Karen went to the wrong place.
I went to where it usually is. Where's, I can't even think of the name of it now.
Ventana Grill.
Yeah, I was at Ventana.
Okay. But everyone else was at the Cliffs.
The Cliffs.
Okay.
Yes, it was a very, very nice event. We were all, you know, because it was the same night we hosted the Special Olympians, so right. I think we all just had that on our minds. But right. So I snuck out during the speeches because I wanted to be on time for the Special Olympians. But Barbara, you listened to the speeches, so maybe you could tell more about it. But
it was just Cacho rallying support and Mr. Monning rallying support. That was about the extent of it.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay. Any other council communications? We'll start with Councilmember Shaw.
Aside from hoping everyone goes to the Stone Soup Music Festival, that's really, and I am signed up for the 10K and the Dune Run, which I don't really know what I was thinking there. So if you want to see something funny, get up early Saturday morning and see me try to run through sand.
I'll be right there to welcome you back, Miriam.
So if you're still there, you'll have to be patient.
No, I'm part of the registration right. and timing group.
Okay. So you'll either be there or clearing me off the sand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice. Fortunately, there's spotters out in the sand to make sure that everybody gets home safely.
Okay.
So, Councilmember Bright.
Well, that happens to be my birthday, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be in town. If I am, I won't be running, but I'll be walking.
Okay.
So, and I did... go to our newest restaurant on Friday,
Spoon Trade.
Thank you, the Spoon Trade. I had another engagement, but so we just went into the bar. But it's really, they have a really upscale, interesting menu. So I can't wait to go back for dinner. Lovely people. Brooke is the owner, and Elizabeth and Megan behind the bar. Really nice people, very very welcoming, and so you should really take an opportunity to go on in there. And then, of course, we had the Water Symposium on Thursday. Mm-hmm. That was very well attended as well, very informative. Mr. Gehring was great, as usual, just a wealth of information. Barbara and Jeff were there as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's about it for me.
And then Mr. Lindsay gave a weather presentation and said we are going to have an El Nino, except no one knows what that blob of warm water off right. off of our coast is going to do with regards to that. So
well, we're supposed to have an El Nino last year as right. well. So
yeah. Yeah. I spoke to someone who kind of piggybacked on what Mr. Lindsay was saying and said NOAA is very excited about that blob of warm water. And then they followed that up with, come back to us next May and we'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
Then doesn't really help us to do any preparation, but any communications?
Miriam had mentioned the Special Olympics. That evening went extremely well. And I wanted to let you know that, or to remind you, I think you've all been notified that there will be an appreciation picnic at the Jack House. I believe it's on Sunday the 24th?
23rd.
Or 25th. 23rd, okay. And I certainly am planning to go to that.
That must be in September?
No, this month.
August.
This Sunday.
10
okay,
days.
Okay, so that can't, that's got to be the 23rd, right?
It is.
Okay,
right.
So 8/23.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's, if I'm not mistaken, it's from 4 to 6 or something like that. Just a late afternoon.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, so, can I make one more announcement?
Of course.
I forgot to mention on Wednesday, August 26th, I'm going to be speaking at the Grover Beach Rotary in Pismo at Rosa's at noon. Not that I'm trying to get more people there to watch, but just wanted to let you all know that I'm going to be just talking about what's...
Any other communications?
No.
Great. And I just had one or two myself. Councilmember Nichols and I were honored to be in attendance of the Fiesta Filipiana 2015 event this past weekend, and wanted to say congratulations to Queen Mary Jane Parinas, so and her court. And then I also did have an opportunity to I'm probably a couple weeks behind because I was just able to get to Cowfish, our other new restaurant, the sushi and Korean barbecue, and very much enjoyed that as well. So so we have several different new options of restaurants in town. And so realizing that we did just approve the Grover Beach United car event, that will happen before. With that, I'll turn it over to the city manager's report.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I actually have three items to report on. First of all, I just wanted to remind you that Tim Williams from Digital West is actually going to be at the Chamber of Commerce, and he's going to be the program for Wednesday. If you have an opportunity, you might take part in that. As you know, we partnered with Digital West. They seem to be making some progress of late, and I'm assuming he will provide a couple of items I wanted to update you on. Actually involve law enforcement, so I'll ask Chief Peters to come up. First of all, just a comment and ask him to give you a quick overview of the training that took place Saturday and will take place again tomorrow. It was actually took place at the elementary school, Grover Beach Elementary School. It was designed to have a coordinated response to an incident at the school. But there were like 9 agencies that cooperated in putting that together. So, Chief Peters, if you want to talk about that I'd appreciate it.
Sure. We coordinated a special training for critical incident response and at the school with a partnership from the school district as well as the Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, and the State Parks Police Departments, Cal Fire, Five Cities Fire, the Red Cross, Alan Hancock recruits from their academy class, and the San Luis Obispo Ambulance. So all those entities were represented at the school, and the first 4 hours of the day were a lot of classroom hands-on, how to operate and certain items of equipment, as well as how to triage patients in a critical incident, mass casualty type incident. And then the remaining 4 hours were practical exercises of the officers to go through into the school to respond to a mock active shooter scenario at the same time. So we will be having another one tomorrow. It's an all-day event, and so we'll have the same agencies on hand again. I think the fire response is going to be a little limited due to the Cuesta fire and a few fires around us, but they will have some personnel there. So it went well, and we're looking forward to doing it as a partnership with the other five cities agencies throughout the coming years.
Very good.
Thank you for that. Was there a second item for the chief?
Yes. Actually, I just wanted to update the council. City's been very active in dealing with our homeless encampments. Here about 10 days ago, Chief Peters coordinated another multi-agency meeting to take a look at an approach to dealing with the encampments. I know there's been a lot of concern expressed in the community about them. We had 15 people in attendance at that meeting, and it involved everybody from human service providers to other law enforcement agencies to County Parks, to which actually is an owner for the property, to State Parks. And it was a good at that site over the coming weeks. And then we'll also be looking to the site at up off of North 4th as well in the open area. But maybe Chief Peters, if you've got any update regarding that.
Sure. The train station site has been getting our attention, as well as Bob explained, we had so many agencies there that were willing to help. And the first thing we did was organize the social services to go down into the area and reach out to the homeless population there and offer assistance and how we can get them the assistance that they need, whether it be medical or once that process is completed, which it did occur actually last week, we have this week is the first phase of Union Pacific will be coming in their partnership and making notices, trespass notices, and cleaning up the debris and some of the foliage on their portion of the property. And then as we go forward, there are steps that are still being worked out between all the agencies on eventually cleaning up completely that area, lifting the canopy and making it a more secure area. And I think Union Pacific and some of the folks are talking about how to better secure it so it doesn't become a problem in the future as well. We are also, by the end of this month, installing security cameras in there similar to the ones that were installed at the any other activities of ill repute. So.
And that's being funded through a grant? Or so how are those cameras being funded?
The cameras are being funded through police department grant funds.
Wonderful. Great. Good job. Okay.
That's it.
Great. I actually just had one question. I apologize. I probably should have let you know that I was going to ask this question. It just popped into my head. Can you give us an update on the Brighton, Nice, and 7th Street construction?
That is probably fairly – it is imminent. And, in fact, if you go out and take a look at the streets, they've been marked up for utilities. The neighborhood meetings should be held within the next week and a half or so, and construction should start soon thereafter. I don't have an actual construction date yet.
Okay. So how do people know about the neighborhood meetings?
They will go door to door, and there'll be a door hanger left at each home indicating the time, date, and location of the neighborhood meeting.
Very good. Thank you.
Could I ask a question?
Of course.
Would you be able to update us on the train cars left on? I know many people have asked, and I want people to know that we are doing our part to follow up on.
Well, yes, at the request of the mayor, and I know several council members have expressed a concern. I did contact Lisa if they couldn't be used moved as soon as possible. I didn't get an overwhelming positive response, a little bit of empathy, but what she did tell me is that those particular cars are not used to move the oil, per se. They're used for some other material. And right now the economy has been that they have a lot of the on unused vehicles, and so consequently they've got them stored in several locations throughout their system. Again, I expressed the city's concern and indicated that we would appreciate them getting moved as quickly as possible, because they block and they provide a very unattractive view of our community when you're coming down Highway 1.
Perhaps the city manager and or the chief police chief can use their powers of persuasion when Union Pacific are on site, realizing they're Phillips 66, but maybe we can get them onto our side to encourage Phillips to move those while they're helping with the homeless encampments. So any other questions of the city manager?
Well, could I ask a question about the training exercise? I'm a parent, and it might be a question that other parents have. I know that
when they get there, they can have the map. Our sergeant's vehicle has actual laminated maps of all the schools, so they can pull the, and they're about 3 feet by 3 feet. They can pull them out and start marking on those as soon as they arrive on scene. And they have a computer in the back of the command module that rolls out of the back of their Tahoe, so they can see digital maps and Google Maps as well. And then that vehicle also has radio communications to all the schools, the bus drivers, the janitor staff, and everything in reference to the school district. And then our bigger command post outside also has all of that capability as well, including simultaneous communications with fire, schools, public works, and police throughout the county. So for our organization, we are well prepared. I know the Arroyo Grande organization is well prepared, and so is Pismo Beach, because they too have the same concerns. And right now, the three police departments are working together to see how we can collaboratively build up our preparedness, and if there's additional equipment that needs to be purchased, how can we do that, you know, together? So,
thank you.
That's very reassuring. Thank you.
Yes,
it's good to know.
Thank you for that update. Any other items for the city manager? If not, city attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. Just a couple of quick items. As I may already have mentioned, I've been honored and appointed as the chair for the Legal Advocacy Committee for the League of California Cities. I'll be going to orientation, for lack of a better word, on Wednesday. I'll be in Sacramento, so if there's anything that you, any flag you want me to carry down there, let me know before I leave on Wednesday. With regard to the El Nino, the difference between knowing now and knowing in May is weather forecasting versus weather reporting. So
on that note, did you want to give us a report on what we're going to do in closed session this evening?
Certainly. It's the intention of the council to meet in closed session on four items. Two of those are real property negotiators pertaining to Sprint Corporation and Pacifica Companies. One is a conference with labor negotiators with regard to the all employee groups. And the last one is the existing litigation of Santa Maria Valley Water litigation.
And with that, we will adjourn to closed session.